This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana as we round out the week with Lieutenant General Russell Honore and some other fascinating folks. But we do want to note that First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support for our program, and your number is 877-217-5757. Send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. General Honore is in the house, and as we know, 16 years ago, he was the hero of Katrina. He got things back on track after that horror show in New Orleans that took many thousands of lives and destroyed property, and New Orleans is still coming back and the surrounding area. And now, 16 years later, this 37-year veteran of the U.S. Army, Lieutenant General Honore, pride of Louisiana, was called into action when the Capitol insurrection occurred on January 6th. And we're going to talk to him about several matters, but let's start there. Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she knew the name, she knew the reputation, and she got General Honore engaged, and you have issued your report. What do you know now that you can disclose?
Well, it was a team of 16 with seven other generals and the remainder being colonels level and SES level. And what I can tell you is we turned in a 78-page report with over 100 recommendations, starting with hardening the Capitol. We need to upgrade the doors and windows on the Capitol. We need to upgrade the grounds to be more protective. We saw that protective system that was put in after 9/11 prevented that car from entering the Capitol grounds the other day. Even though Officer Evans lost his life, that car did not penetrate the defense system that was put up after 9/11 to prevent cars. We got to do the same thing for people. There's a dilemma at the Capitol because all the members want full access. They want it like Easter Sunday every day where kids can roam the Capitol and come see them. That comes at a cost, because we've got to balance security, because there are people, as we saw on 1-6, who sometimes want to go from a First Amendment right to a civil disturbance or a riot, as happened on that day. So we also recommended some portable and some integrated fencing that will come out the ground and give the Capitol Police a chance to block those entrances, the main entrances to the Capitol. So that, along with hiring another 800 officers, they're already 233 short, and we made recommendations how they can fill that shortage, as well as hire the remaining officers.
How many officers are there now?
About 1,850.
So you need another 800. So,
well, then they got to hire 233 that they're short of that 1,800, then hire another 800 to do dignity protection and to drive down the 720,000 hours of overtime those officers did last year, which drive them to work 5-6 days a week at 12 hours a day because of the amount of overtime.
Now, that was a terrible event, if you can call it an event. It's a catastrophe, a calamity on January 6th, and five people were dead, but it could have been much worse.
It could have.
How close was it to being just a total fiasco with hundreds of people dying?
Well, you, like I, saw those who watched television, and they draw their own conclusion. I was just stunned, absolutely, to see this happening in our country. Normal, I do interviews about when these things happen in other countries, and we coach people to let democracy work, not to try to overthrow a government. And now we've lost our innocence. Kind of no longer can talk about that with any degree of expertise, because now it's happened in our country. We've set a new low bar in our democracy when that happened.
We will move to other topics, but we have had people on this show in public life who say that Antifa and Black Lives Matter were responsible for this.
I feel empathy for them because they've been victims of information operations and propaganda. You know, if you keep telling the same lie over and over, for instance, you got a horse, you keep telling people you got a horse, somebody will bring you a saddle. And propaganda ruled the day that day because they had people believe. Good people in America, friends and relatives of mine, believed the election was stolen. The election was not stolen. But they still believed that because of the propaganda they were given.
How much responsibility does the former president have?
I think he was the leader of the propaganda. He led it, along with some able elected senators and congressional members.
Okay. If you'd like to talk about this or other matters, the general is at your service, and we will take a few calls, but we're going to cover some ground with him. And your number, again, is 877-217-5757. Before we get to the Green Army at the Capitol, and you will be earnestly trolling the halls, trying to coax lawmakers to do things that are in the benefit of our environment, a few other matters. Yesterday, the current president of the United States, Joe Biden, made some moves to curb gun crimes. Some of those are executive actions, which some people, of course, don't like, but the previous president had almost 1,000 executive actions. Is this necessary?
We need to do something. Our affinity to solve disputes with guns, we need a cultural shift. We need more mental health. We need more gun control. We need families to step up when they see people about to cross the line. I mean, we haven't missed a day this week without some type of shooting. We got a problem in America. You know, we can be the exceptional nation. But when it comes to gun violence and killing people, we kill many people here, more people here than they did in war zones this week that's been reported. We've got a problem. We've got a problem. And you don't fix a problem. You know, the first rule of redemption is admission. You know, we've got to admit we got a problem before we can fix it. And there's still a lot of people who hide behind the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment don't have jack to do with this. This is an abundance of accessibility to weapons and this cultural thing that we've watched too much TV over time, from cowboy movies to present day. You can watch 12 hours of cops a day shooting people and people shooting cops. It's embedded in our culture that we resolve our issues as a culture with guns.
Isn't that something?
We need to change. We need a cultural shift.
Well, independent of the Second Amendment, I'm with you that resolving issues with guns is not the American way. If we really want to make America great again, we should start there and just change the mentality, change the laws, if you will. But a gun should be a last option, not a first resort.
Guns do kill people, in spite of what the NRA said. Guns do kill, and in the wrong hand, they slaughter people. And the type of weapons that are available today that exceed the capability we had in Vietnam, the automatic fire and the things on the open market that people can get, is ridiculous. And I don't care what you say, AR-15 is not a hunting weapon. You know, great Lindsey Graham said, well, we might need one. I keep one in case we have a Katrina. Because they were going around in Katrina. What in the hell is it Lindsey Graham talking about? He's talking some propaganda given to him by the NRA. And I think our people in Louisiana are smarter than that. And we need to do something because we lead the list on killing people with guns. And it's not just masculine. It's nightly. It's days on the streets of Baton Rouge and New Orleans and Shreveport and other places around the state where people are just shooting each other.
That was a fairly good imitation of Lindsey Graham, by the way. Now, we've spent much time over the last several weeks talking about the LSU situation, and today we're largely focusing on other matters, but there was a hearing at the Capitol yesterday, and General Honoré, many probably do not know, but I think about 8 years ago, he was part of a group of leaders in Louisiana and elsewhere who put together a plan for LSU, a plan that, if it had been implemented, you believe might have kept the old war school, the flagship university of our state, from being embarrassed as it is right now. What was in that plan?
Well, we made many recommendations to focus on the students, equity for students, treating them like customers, fixing those old dorms, upgrading the data system, and sending the message that the most important thing at LSU is the academics and the research. They were lagging behind on research. They weren't paying the professors enough money, and they were leaving with their grants. And we saw a mass exodus then of grants not coming or getting there, then the professor leave with his colleagues to go to another university because they paid them more. A pay for our university instructors are in the bottom tier. And we made all those recommendations. Christel Slaughter was our head organizer and put that report together. And I'm not an LSU graduate. I was asked to be on it because I wasn't an LSU graduate. They wanted some outside eyes. But the list of people on there was a who's who in LSU history, from bankers to former professors to CEOs, were all on that board. And we gave them some good recommendation, but they were buried. When we gave it to the board, Mr. Danos was the board chair at the time. They gave us a big smile and thanked us for our report and gave us a certificate and said, we'll see you later. Nothing's ever done with it.
I wonder where that report is, if it's even front and center at LSU. If I went to the administration building right now and asked for it, would they be able to provide it to me?
I'm sure they would, but I don't know. Everybody in this state love LSU. I don't care where you are. We have an affinity for our flagship, and right now our flagship is wavering because of bad decisions.
877-217-5757, your number, back in 90 seconds with General Honore. This is Jim Engster, pleased as always and honored to visit with decorated war hero, hero of Katrina, pride of Louisiana, Lieutenant General Russell Honore, man who loves his state. Could have lived anywhere in the world and is known worldwide for his service to our country. And he is at your service. If you'd like to call, we do have some folks who are waiting in line to talk with the general. So please make your remarks concise. Rose in Mid-City. Rose, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, General. I wanted to ask General Honore, what do you think the average Baton Rouge, Louisianian should do about gun violence and our politicians not listening to us? Thank you.
Well, start at home. All of our good things that change at home. Parents, grandparents, look at where we keep these guns and think about why we're keeping them around the house. Everybody's got a right to keep them. And we have to put the pressure on the legislators. Start by getting a resolution by the city council to start a program, to start a PSA, and repeat that message. It's taught in school. You see it on the TV. We did a cultural shift in America with smoking. Remember when everybody smoked? Almost. And the science came out, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
And the Surgeon General came out and said, it'll kill you. Mm-hmm. You couldn't turn on TV without seeing a PSA talking about smoking. And all of a sudden, now it's an exception to see anybody smoke. We did a cultural shift. We need to do the same thing with guns, ma'am, and I appreciate your question. And if you have ideas, write about it and be active. Be a voice for reducing the gun violence and the possession of guns. We have too many guns on the street. People have confused the right to own weapons, which is a part of the amendment, Second Amendment, with the right to carry guns anywhere. I don't want to go in a store and see somebody, an ordinary citizen, standing in front of me with a long gun or a gun on his hip just for the idea he's protected or she is protecting themselves. That is ridiculous. And we need to end that culture. One time in Louisiana, every pickup truck had a rifle in the back. The reason they stopped taking them because people would steal them. So you remember them days when folks had guns in their back window of the trucks? That was a manly thing. And we got rid of that because people started stealing them. I don't think we did it because we didn't want to show we had weapons. But we got far too many, and they're too accessible. Thank you for that question, ma'am.
David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on with General Honore.
General, you're a great man. I hope there's a run for the presidency in your future. General, I've read articles where Republicans have been critical of you being too political, but I've never read an article, and I go through many newspapers every day. Rudy Giuliani, who collected $20,000 a day from the Trump campaign to promote a lie and to stir people up, who went on to commit murder and other acts of violence against innocent people, and I'm sure Rudy knew what the truth was. The election was not stolen, but Rudy put money before his country and before human life. Rudy is a horrid, despicable person.
Thank you for your comments, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. Thank you. James in Metairie. Hi, James. You're on with General Honore.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
General Honore. Yesterday, Joe Biden made the comment, no amendment is absolute, and that's in relationship to gun control. That is an absolutely correct statement. Either freedom of speech, you don't have the right to yell fire at a theater. We don't have a right to possess a suitcase nuclear bomb, yet President Biden is being ripped apart by those on the right, our radical conservatives, concerning Second Amendment, no absolutes. And by the way, my question is this. There are a number of bills in the legislature which are to establish what's called constitutional carry. I think you just addressed it. In other words, they want to do away with just about all training, all familiarization. You know, everybody should just go buy a gun who can buy a gun. And as you said, you know, put it on in a holster, or not even on a holster, carry it in their waistband under a coat and, you know, into a store. A concealed carry with no training and no certificate.
All right, your thoughts.
I had a distinguished gentleman who spent years at the legislature tell me this, sir. He said, Louisiana legislature is good at passing bad bills. We just got to make sure that one. It might make it out of committee. There'll be enough people in any committee to say yes. We've got to make sure that one don't see the light of day. And people like you writing the legislators and writing the governor and say, no, we don't need that.
All right. Thank you, James. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, you actually do have a right to yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't incite a riot. So your previous caller needs to look that up. And every amendment is absolute. That's why we pass these amendments, so that we can protect our freedom and our liberty. And if I'm a mass murderer and I'm crazy and I want to shoot a bunch of people, first place I'm going to go is somewhere where no one else has a gun. I'm not going to go somewhere where I'm going to be confronted by a good guy.
Thank you, sir.
You're just going to let him have that one?
Yeah, let it go. Okay. I'm not going to change that.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Stewart downtown. Stewart, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, the general, and the audience. Good morning, as always. General, what's your take on, particularly on these day-to-day shootings that we experience in urban America? I think the problem is we have far too many incubators and sperm donors instead of mothers and fathers. Because if we had mothers and fathers, they would raise their children to regard the sanctity of life and not be so cavalier related to taking lives.
Well, I think you got a lot packed in there, sir. And I will agree with you. We have too many guns and too many things on the street every day where people are settling differences with guns. I think that's the piece we need to go after. And why is that? My own assessment, looking at it from when I used to be on the counter-drug task force, is I think much of that gun violence on the street is driven by the contraband economy. That is my belief. I continue to believe that from information we had when I served on that when I was in the Pentagon, that much of that street violence is driven through contraband economy for control of drugs and control of territory. That needs to stop because we need to stop the flow of drugs out of Mexico. It comes right up I-10 through Lafayette. And he comes through Baton Rouge, and he go to New Orleans on his way to Atlanta.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil.
Yes, hi, and thank you, General Honore. It's an honor to talk to you. We're going to speak about the culture war now going on, people who find it acceptable to work 16 hours a day, basically doing the work of two people when regularly the eight-hour day was our standard, and I think it would be better. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, sir. Well stated. Couldn't agree with you more. Right. We need a living wage.
Henry at the Country Club. Henry, good morning. You're on with the General.
Good morning, General. Good morning, Mr. Jim. You know, I'm not anti-gun. I like to take old 1911 out to the range and see if I can shoot a few holes in a piece of paper. But for God's sake, these ghost guns with no serial numbers, no identification, no age check or anything. When the hell did those things become legal?
Yeah, they're not. And I think that's why the president took the initiative with executive act to ban them. But we're out of control. We need a cultural shift. Regulations alone will not fix this. It's just like smoking. We've got to make a cultural shift in our families and the way we think and what we watch on TV. That violence, I think, helped promote violence.
Gustavo in Goodwood. Hi, Gustavo.
Good morning, gentlemen. Quick observation. They always talk about gun control, but really the gun control is not going to be abided by the criminals. And let me tell you a quick story. I drive all over Baton Rouge, and this past Saturday I saw a confrontation between a couple and another young man in North Baton Rouge, North Acadian, actually. And I thought there was going to be a fist fight, and I was concerned because I was at the traffic light. But guess what? The guy in the smaller car, and I had video of this, by the way, pulled out an AR-15.
All right. Is that the way to resolve this?
No. This is the problem. They're all over. Mm-hmm. You can get guns anywhere, or they steal them. And I can bet you a fat man in three chunkers it has something to do with contraband economy.
877-217-5757. We're going to return with Lieutenant General Russell Honoré. We'll get the latest on what's happening with the Green Army as the session begins Monday. We'll return after this pause for the news on Talk Louisiana. Thanks for listening to Talk Louisiana. More time with General Honoré. 877-217-5757 is your number. Sean and Addis has been waiting patiently. Sean, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Yeah, Jim, thank you. Thank you, General Honoré. I'll agree with General Honoré on we need a cultural shift and change in guns, but I think it goes much further. Is we just have a violent society, and I'll use corporal punishment as the, I guess, the gateway to, you know, like where we are. But we accept causing pain and killing people with anything, and it's that to me is the true cultural shift. I think guns for sure we need to rein that in, but it's the cultural shift of just a violent society.
Well stated, sir. Well stated.
Mitchell and Sherwood. Mitchell, please be brief. You're on with the general.
It's the cultural shift.
Turn your radio down, Mitchell.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Turn your radio down, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're on the air.
All right. I just want to say the 14th Amendment, why are we considered three-fifths of man still? Out of every five black people, colored people, three of us considered men, but the other two are not.
Is that still the case in America? It was at one time, but have things changed, or is it still that case, even though the law no longer states it?
That's a good question. There are people that feel that way. Let me just say that. The people I talk to feel that way.
I know.
That we don't have equity.
Don't
and
have
it
equity.
Plays its ways out in education, in wealth, in opportunity. We have a lingering problem, and I understand where the gentleman is concerned, and there are people that feel that way.
Thank you so much, Mitchell. General's preparing with the Green Army for a legislative session starting Monday, and you've got an array of bills that you're looking at. What are some of the primary ones?
I'll start off with SB2 by Senator Fields. It requires air monitoring systems on facilities in Louisiana. Right now, our air monitoring is controlled by the DEQ and regulated by EPA. But the rules we use here are similar to what they use in Arkansas and Massachusetts and in Connecticut, but they don't have a big industrial base. We're in the industrial corridor. The last administration called us the chemical corridor. We need more air monitoring because on one campus, like the Exxon campus here, there may be 8 to 10 plants on that same campus, and each one of them get an individual permit. It's the collective impact of all these. And between Baton Rouge and Louisiana, we have 150 plants. We need better air monitoring. We need 21st century air monitoring. And Senator Fields has brought this bill forward. I think it's going to be a good one. The other one is SB 44 by Senator Carter, and that bill will require emergency notification of people who live in and around plants when an event happened to be get notification within 15 minutes. We had an incident a couple of years ago here in Baton Rouge, and it came to forth that the current standing rules for the state use is an hour to notify the community. It took them 45 minutes to notify the state police and the local fire department at the last fire we had at Exxon. That brought this forth. This bill by Senator Peterson would require the community in and around the fence line community to be notified within 15 minutes that something is happening on the plant. We have another bill by Senator Mills. It's SB 129. It creates and provides for a Community Drinking Water Infrastructure Sustainability Act. That will be a good thing for our state. On the other end, we've got SB 203 by Bodie White. I'm going to read this. It exempts certain groundwater district commissioners from provisions of the Code of Government Ethics. So if you sit on the Capital Area Groundwater Commission or other that control water, you're not subject to ethics review. Remember, a couple of years ago, the auditor said there were problems on the Capital Area Groundwater. One of them was they had employees from the major users, Exxon, Entergy, and Georgia Pacific, paid members of their staff on the Groundwater Commission, whose mission is to control the amount of water taken out. So Senator White has hit another one, SB 203.
All right.
Exempt them from ethics so they can come back on the board as paid members and control what they use.
You don't like that one.
We don't like that one at all. That's not a good one. And we got HCR 4 by Landry. That provides relative to public notice for minor source permits that the LDEQ is issuing, where the community is told that a new plant's coming right now. It happens because it's a minor source. There's no requirement to tell the people in the community that another plant has been permitted in their community.
All right. The general, I hope, will come back in about a month, and we can get an update on these measures. And
we have one other quick one. Right. HB 88, Baton Rouge, Marcel, to control the amount of water being used in the aquifer. And HB 481 by Willett, that will provide for relative testing of certain contaminants in the drinking water.
All right. One more question for the general. I'm sorry we won't be able to get to all of you, but Joey in Sherwood's been hanging on for a long time. Joey, you're on. Please be brief.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, General. Just in reference to mass shootings and gun control, I mean, I think the common denominator in all these scenes occurrences is that there's a crazy person behind the trigger, or a thug, or a criminal behind the trigger. I mean, don't you think it'd make more sense to target the individual as opposed to the gun itself? I mean, it's typically an insane person that's doing the mass shootings.
What do you think, General?
I appreciate his thoughts, but I think it goes deeper than this. The rest of the world have guns. No other nation kill each other like we do.
And an assault weapon in the hands of a crazy person is more deadly than a pistol.
Absolutely.
So it's the old burning building thing. I think you're trying to save as many people as we can.
I think we have yet to harness the power of academics and science and health to assess where we are in the country. Because for a long time, the pulpit was dominated by the National Rifle Association. And we've seen what happened to them. The rotten fruit falls first. That being said, we've got an issue that we have not come to grips with because of the propaganda mm-hmm. they've been fed. I've spent time in many years overseas in other countries. And no other country I've been to, including some war zones that I've visited, that the proliferation of guns and people willing to use them against their relatives and friends, supposedly, is absolutely ridiculous. And this violence at work is just totally out of control. And I think we have to relook how we secure our workplaces for our essential workers, because, well, we've had two of them this week where people have killed people where they work. This is ridiculous.
General, thanks for your service, and we will be calling in a few weeks and Hope you'll be kind enough to come back. Thank you.
Get your shot.
You've gotten yours?
Yes, sir. Two.
Okay, two of them.